All right. So any updates or changes to the agenda before we continue? None. All right. So over the weekend, we did a spec split. Let me go ahead and put that in here. And basically what happened is, you know, for quite a while people had been asking to have the spec split out into basically a language description and then all of the complicated API and processing rule stuff to be placed into another specification. So basically they wanted a easy introduction for people just learning the JSON-LD syntax, and then all of the implementation details people wanted to be placed into another specification. And we had asked that we wait off, or at least I had asked that we wait off on doing that until the specs settle down a bit. And over the past couple of weeks, it seems to have done just that, settled down. So I thought that I might as well take a hack at trying to split the spec out into some logical groups. So the spec was split out into three groups, or the three documents. The first one is the JSON-LD syntax, which basically describes what the language looks like effectively, so what keywords are there and how you express IRIs and data types and all those types of things. The second document was split out into a API document. So the API spec basically describes the five method calls that you can use to transform JSON-LD data from compact to expanded to frame to normal mode. And it's also got a callback in there for generating triples when you go through and process a document. And the third spec is actually the normalization algorithm. A couple of people from the RDF working group and W3C had asked that we split that out into a separate document because the algorithm is fairly generalizable, meaning that you can apply the same algorithm to any RDF input, whether it's N triples or N3 or Turtle or JSON-LD. So basically what we have right now is a proposal for three specifications. The API specification depends on the normalization spec and the syntax document. The syntax document doesn't depend but refers to the API document, and the normalization spec kind of stands on its own. Any thoughts on this specifically? Does this seem like a good direction? I think feedback on the list and on personal email has been fairly positive. People have kind of nitpicked about certain things that go in each one of the specs, but in general, no one's objected that I've seen. Greg, Nicholas, Dave, thoughts?
I like it. Okay. I haven't been able to look at it in detail, but I believe it's a good direction.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was something that we had agreed to do some time ago, so good that it's done.
Okay.
I did notice, just notice one thing, the section that was in there before, I think it was an appendix with experimental concepts, like lists and stuff, that doesn't actually exist in the new thing.
Oh, whoops. Then that was accidentally deleted.
Who's speaking? I'm sorry.
This is Dave.
Yeah.
I think there are some links in there that are like just linking off into nothing at the moment, so.
Right. Yeah, there are a number of editorial fixes. There are a number of spec bugs in there that need to be fixed. But you're saying the list stuff is gone now?
Maybe, unless I'm missing it here.
Hold on, let me take a look. It shouldn't have been deleted. I might have been moving stuff around and accidentally.
Yeah, there is the experimental concept section. It just doesn't have the list thing anymore.
Huh. Yeah, I don't see it either. And I don't, well, let's see, I don't even see the experimental. Where's the experimental?
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing. Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't think it's actually in there at all. Yeah, I was looking at advanced concepts. Sorry, I was reading the wrong thing.
Okay, yeah, so I think I accidentally, I think I my intent was to move the experimental concepts into advanced concepts, and I just deleted it and didn't move it, so.
All right.
Yeah, we'll have to put that back into the syntax spec. So I'm guessing that all every experimental concept that we had is going to turn into an advanced concept, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't think that anyone's I'd have to look back through them, actually. Let me go ahead and look at the one that's live on the site right now and see.
I mean, I could see in practice a lot of people wanting to use ordered lists, but other than that, I don't know.
Let's see. So experimental concepts, oh, there are only two things in the actual spec, so let me get the link to the latest spec there. There are disjoint graphs, and we need disjoint graphs to be able to express graphs that are not linked but need to be expressed in the same document. So we have to have that. And then lists is the only other experimental concept, and we decided a number of weeks ago that we were going to support ordered lists using the list syntax. So it needs to be updated, but yeah, we need to integrate that. And Greg, I wanted to kind of chat with you about that. If you could modify, whenever we push this spec out, if you could modify the RDF conversion algorithm to support lists, so you have a little bit on RDF conversion there to support RDF conversion of lists.
It needs to be folded into the main process.
Exactly. Yep. And that's I was going to leave that up to you because you're the guy that's that went through and rewrote those things to be clearer, the steps to be clearer. So you have a much better idea of where it needs to go than I do.
So we'll wait for you to merge your changes into the GitHub. Yeah.
Okay, and that should happen today at some point, and it should go live shortly thereafter. Okay, anything else on the syntax spec? Anything that accidentally got deleted? I don't think so.
I don't think anyone actually reviewed it for such things.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, keep your eye out to see if if something else did get deleted accidentally. I don't think it should have, because the API, I moved a lot of the stuff in bulk, so I didn't, pick and choose. I just moved the entire application API section and the entire algorithm section out in one go. Okay. All right, so I guess what I'm hearing is a general agreement that we go ahead and merge this branch into the main spec branch and continue with three documents.
I have a question about how are they all going to be linked together or associated with each other? I mean, is there like a top level one, or are they just sort of all at the same? Are they peer documents or something?
The RDF normalization document is standalone. So that doesn't refer to the other two documents at all. The JSON LD API spec has to refer to the JSON LD syntax spec, and it also has to refer to the RDF graph normalization spec. And the JSON LD syntax spec refers to the JSON LD API spec, but non-normatively, I think. I don't quite know exactly what we should do about that. And it refers to the normalization spec, probably non-normatively. I think that's how they're going to all tie into one another. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's okay with whoever uses these things, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty typical W3C. I think so. I mean, basically, you have to, if the JSON LD API spec requires normalization to be a part of the spec, then it has to refer to the normalization spec normatively, The normalization spec has to be a rectrack document, right? So basically what we're saying is all three of these documents have to be rectrack documents per W3C process.
Okay.
All right, so it doesn't really make sense to do any kind of proposal on here because there are only four of us. But basically, I guess we'll just go ahead and do the merge and see if anyone else complains about it. But there seems to be general agreement that this is the direction that we want. All right, anything else on this before we move on to the next topic? All right, so the next topic is merging type and data type, issue 31. And this is something that I believe Marcus raised on the mailing list. He said that basically, RDF has a concept of data type that's associated with the literal, and it also has the concept of an RDF type that can be associated with an object, basically, or subject. And so the general premise of the proposal is that to authors that aren't familiar with RDF, they don't really know what the difference between type and data type is, right? They don't really care. They want to be able to type everything, but they don't really care about how that translates into RDF. And RDF people will probably understand that if they put a type with a literal, then it's the data type for the literal. If they put a type with an object, then it's probably an RDF type for the object. So the idea here is to merge data type and type into one keyword and allow people to basically use that wherever they want to type something in JSON-LD. So the pro for this is simplicity and easing what authors have to do. The con is that it may, Yvonne raised a point where he was concerned that it would confuse people coming from the RDF world. So the con is that, it might cause some confusion with people because now type is dependent on whether it's paired with a literal or something else. But then again, all of our other keywords are dependent on being paired with something else. Either they're paired with an object or they're paired with another keyword. So thoughts on this? Which way we should go with this? Should we merge type or should we kind of keep it separate from data type? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes, I'm quite aware that I'm definitely an RDF head, but I have real problems with this, merging this. For one, because type is really a shorthand for a property. So that's conceptually different, and although people might have problems to understand it initially, I think that the conceptual difference is so important that I'm afraid that they will be confused further down the line, and very much more so if we merge them.
Okay, so that would be a minus one from you to do the merge between type and data type?
Yes.
Dave Lane asked if Dave Longley had any comments on this based on his implementation work. I don't know. He hasn't really spoken up on it. The implementation issue could be that when we go to, there is no implementation issue, I don't think, when we go to normalize this stuff, because it's clear from the syntax, it's clear what we should do. There's no ambiguity from that. So it's really, I think this is a stylistic thing. Greg, thoughts on this?
In general, I'm in favor of reducing the number of keywords that are needed, particularly when you have concepts that are orthogonal. The danger, perhaps, is that someone uses a class type when they mean a data type or vice versa. But I don't think that, I mean, triples will be generated. They'll be wrong, but there's many other ways to generate data which is wrong. I don't know that this really substantially complicates it.
Okay, so is that a kind of a vote for reporting?
Yeah, I guess I'm neutral to plus.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I also think that it might be problematic because thinking of coercion, I mean, you would never coerce something so that it would be typed using the RDF type concept, but you will probably coerce things to a specific data type more or less all the time. Also, I mean, we have keyword aliases, and I prefer to use an alias for type, so I don't use at sign type. I just use type or even A in my JSON. And I would never use data type directly, I think. I strive to always coerce that. So there are a number of places where these differences are important.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. At the beginning of this conversation, I was pretty much in favor of merging type and data type, but I think that you make a very good point there, Nicholas, that people may want to overload one and not the other. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, it actually does bring up an issue. Is there a problem with potentially coercing or aliasing multiple types to the same thing? Probably not, because the last one you did would override. But by merging the two together, you lose the ability to choose to have something that's different. Well, that's not true, actually. You could, for instance, if we used foo, you could alias type to foo and data type to foo, and they would both work. And then the fact that they're aliased to the same thing would allow the processing rules to use them in the appropriate context. But not to identify that one was used in the wrong place. So, I don't know that we can make a decision with the number of people we have online. I can see some advantages to doing it. In general, I think that we are a little heavy with keywords. So I do see the advantage of sort of limiting that. But I think the best we can do is to put our thoughts that we have right now out there and see if we can get some further input from the list.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I was just thinking that type as it is used now might not be really necessary. I mean, I can always use define the string type or A to be the property RDF colon type, I mean the URI for type. But the thing with it as it works today is that it allows as a value something which is a symbol, if you will, mapped to something you have defined a short name for. And I'm not really sure that it would work for anything. It's a sort of combined coercion, looking up a term and mapping that to a URI, and also mapping the keyword to the RDF type property URI. So I think that if I understand the processing correctly, I couldn't really discard of the at type construct and use a regular term for type and still use something like document or person as the value of that. Or would that work? Do you know?
I think it would still work. So one of the things I put myself on the queue to say is that you could always get this behavior, the behavior that Marcus wants, by aliasing data type to at type, right? So if someone wants to do that, if they want to create a clean and an easy profile, then people could always use the aliasing mechanism to achieve that. But I'm hearing a lot of reasons for us not to do the merger, meaning that there's an ambiguity here that's introduced that we don't necessarily want to introduce. But to address your question, Nicholas, I believe that the thing that's important is what ad type is paired with, and so the processing rules will look up, whatever aliases there are for ad type, and they'll check for at literal as well, or whatever the alias for at literal is, and based on what it's paired with, it'll decide which triple to generate. And I think that the rules are fairly clear on that, and I think it's possible, certainly. Greg, you're on the queue.
So aliasing, removing date type and just doing an alias to RDF type for that doesn't actually accomplish the same thing, because at type is not just an RDF concept. We're trying to stay away from that. So at type does define type in the context of JSON-LD. It's only in the RDF transformation does it turn into RDF type. So if there was some other linked data concept of type, it might translate to that. But it does stand on its own within the syntax of the language.
I didn't quite follow that, Greg.
So at type is the way to describe the type of an object in JSON-LD without regards to RDF. So mapping it to RDF type is something that happens in the RDF transformation. So if we were to have removed it, as Nicholas had not fully suggested but brought up, it simply aliasing it to RDF type would miss that. It would only have the context then in the context of RDF, not in just linked data.
Okay, I was suggesting something slightly different, meaning that the processing rules would still understand the difference between at type and at data type. So the proposal is to keep both, but if you alias one, and specifically if you alias data type to at type, the transformation rules to RDF stay the same, right? So you would still be able to differentiate between an at type and an at data type, because the at data type processing rules in the RDF conversion would check to see if there is an at literal associated with it. And really, I guess the processing happens the other way around. The RDF conversion checks to see if there's an at literal specified, and if there is an at literal specified, then you're definitely generating a literal. And then the next thing that the processing rules do is it looks for something that's an at data type. And if at data type was alias to at type, then it would just look for at type at the same level as the at literal. Does that make sense, Greg? So basically, the processing rules, if it sees at type or an alias for at type, then it would say, okay, I'm supposed to be generating an RDF type. And if it sees at literal first, and then it looks for at type or at data type or whatever it's alias to, then it knows that it's generating a literal. Does that
sense? I understand that. That wasn't my point.
No.
The point was related to something else Nicholas had brought up of possibly not being able to need at type at all and simply creating a coercion rule or an alias rule for at type to RDF type if that's what you wanted. My point was then that would only have context in the sense in the context of an RDF transformation and not as standalone JSON-LD.
Okay. So basically your point is that we can't get rid of type completely because the processing rules need something to trigger off of to generate the RDF type triple?
If you were not generating RDF, you would need at type to as the only way to be able to say this is the type of a of an object. Otherwise, there is no, you have no concept of type outside of that.
Right. Okay. So you're saying that what we really need is we need the concept of type in there. We can't get rid of that in the spec.
Not if we want to be able to work without RDF. If we want JSON-LD to be consistent linked data and without having to be transformed to RDF, then we need to have a way of identifying both types and data types. I think it would be fine because of the contextual use to merge those together, but there's enough other potential for conflation of meaning that it's, I think we're better off keeping those as separate concepts.
Okay, so it seems like there's a general agreement that we don't merge the two. I'm certainly on the side of not merging now that I've heard the good points that both you and Nicholas have made. Dave Lane, any input on this before we move on? You might be muted. Or you probably are muted. Okay, well, we can't hear you if you are speaking. All right, next issue is, let's see, type coercion is confusing. Yeah, if you could just type out whatever you're intended to say, Lane, since your mic isn't picking up your audio. Okay, so let's see. Issue 34, type coercion is confusing. This is basically an argument. We've been having this, we've been going back and forth on this for quite a while. The way that the coercion rules are specified currently in the spec is that you specify the type that is to be coerced to, and then you specify a list of all of the property names and the properties that should coerce to that type. So this has been confusing to multiple people when they first look at it, because what they expect is that the property is specified first, and then the type that you're supposed to coerce to is specified next. So the left-hand side of a coerce statement, a coerce key-value pair, should be the type that you want to coerce, and then the data type you want to coerce into. But right now in the spec, it's flipped from that. And the reason that it was flipped from that is because we didn't want the list, the coercion rules, to get huge. And if you do it, you know, if you do it in the way that you specify the property first and then the data type second, you end up with very, very large lists of coercion rules. And that historically had been an issue because we didn't want the coercion list to get too large, because we didn't have any way of specifying an external profile, or sorry, an external context. But now that we have an external context, maybe we need to revisit this and think about it again, because it does seem to be far more natural for authors to specify the property and then the data type they want to coerce into. And we don't have to worry quite as much about the size of these the context documents because they can be externalized, so that you're not going to have a lot of repetitive data in a large application. Usually when people write a large application, they're going to take their contexts and just externalize it into a single file. So that, you know, helps in multiple ways. It means that you don't have to continue to download the coercion list every single time you get a new piece of data. So there's a not you're not repeating yourself that much, and you can depend on caching. So they can go out and fetch the document once. A processor can go out and fetch an external contact document once, translate it into an internal data structure, and then any time that they see at context and then the URL for that, they can just load the pre-processed data structure for the context. So the proposal is basically to switch the order of the key value pairs in type coercion. So we specify the property first and then the data type that it should be translated into. Thoughts on this? Nicholas?
Yes. I think, the change itself doesn't really affect me very much. I think that it might be a bit cleaner because you see that you define something for terms. There is one question which I'm not sure how it works right now, and that concerns if you want to coerce something. If you have a list of strings which are to be coerced both as an RDF list of URIs, I'm not sure. I think that you can do it today by putting the used term in list for both coerced to list. I think I should type this out. Let's see. If you have a coerce, for say author list, which is supposed to contain links to authors, this should do it today, right? Unless that's illegal.
I think that may be illegal. I understand what you're getting at. I understand that you could end up generating two sets of triples from one entry, but I don't know what necessarily the use case for that is. I
can
certainly see the use case. I don't know if anyone is actually having that problem today with their data.
No.
Yeah, I think that if you have that problem, then your data model is probably a bit screwy. Greg's on the queue. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah, this actually came up in the microdata conversion stuff. As you may know, the current algorithm, if it has multiple values, generates a list with a single value, just references the value. This was pointed out to potentially be a violation of range restrictions, and that, in fact, the only real way to know that you're referencing a list is to have the range be a list. And there's no way in RDF to describe limitations on the members of that list. So, for instance, if your idea was, to list a weight, there was a single value, you could list an integer that could be determined to be, just an integer. If you had multiple values and you specify a list of integers, you're actually violating the range restrictions on that type. Mm. I think that's a weakness in RDF, but that is the way it's interpreted right now. So that said, we could almost do away with list as a separate concept and consider list as being a data type, or rather a type. So specifying, actually, no, it's getting conflated in my own mind right now. But if you needed to specify, if you had a property that should take a list, you could specify that list was the value to coerce to.
Right.
And that would be more consistent with, I think, range restrictions in RDF. But list, of course, isn't a data type. It's a class type. So.
Right.
it's a bit tricky. I think, I mean, if we we are not sure if the example I wrote up there is even legal, and if we do the change, it would look like this, possibly. So, I mean, it's probably.
But that doesn't mean anything to RDF, which is not a problem necessarily.
No. But I mean, in the SNLD, I might want to supply an RDF list of dates and other stuff.
Right.
So
I guess there are two parts of this. One of them is Nicholas has shown that it doesn't matter which markup mechanism we use, you can achieve a list of IRIs, being able to say a list of IRIs with both markup mechanisms, right? So that's not that shouldn't drive our decision at all. Now whether or not we want to allow that is a separate discussion. But if we do, there's a pretty straightforward solution to it, right? So I tend to agree with Yvonne and Marcus on this, and that I think that the other point I wanted to make is finishing my thought. I think that we should do this. We should swap it so that you specify property first and then the data type that you want to coerce to next. Another reason for doing that is that the data structure that you end up creating in your JSON-LD processor is exactly that, right? We did it the other way around to reduce markup, but what ends up happening is when you end up writing a JSON-LD processor, you're going to end up creating the map of property to data type that it should map to speed lookups when you're doing the triple generation or conversion or whatever. So basically doing it this way would be a plus for authors because it makes more sense to them to write it this way, and then it's also a plus for implementations because all the implementation has to do is effectively copy the entire data structure over to its active context and then expand the IRIs and it's done, whereas before it had to go through and do quite a bit of processing on it. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. I think that I might be thinking two steps. Actually, I know that I'm thinking two steps ahead, but I want to, if we do this, and the reasoning for it is quite sound, especially since we have external contexts, I think that we might be on a path which would bring up ideas like if we did, say that we are in context and we define updated and bind it to a URI. We could extend this mechanism so that we would define updated like this. So instead of having both, we could collapse, we could localize coercion.
Right.
So that we have the full definition.
Yeah. That's interesting. So immediate thoughts on that is that it's clean. It's certainly a cleaner way to specify it. I'm concerned that it's more complicated for authors. So I think that's something that experts might use, but regular authors might be confused by that if we allow both syntaxes, right? So if we allow... I think that if we end up doing that, we should only allow one syntax. And what we could do is say that, well, if updated, is a string, then you've just specified the IRI. But if you haven't done that, then you specify, the IRI and the coerce rule for it. I don't know what I think of that. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I can see the advantage of that, but I think it's going to make the context documents less readable. Keeping the coercion separate from the definite, the other, the property definition, I think might allow you to read the thing as two different parts. You know, you go through this, mm-hmm. the normal mapping to IRIs, then later on you look at your data type mappings. Otherwise, if you wanted to find things that were all XSD dates, it might be a little hard to look through that to determine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess people would continue to just scan. People would continue just kind of scan the document. And I think, I mean, you know, if they want to figure out what all of the XSD types are, I would imagine that they'd have it in some kind of editor and just search for, you know, the term. So meaning that I think you have a point, Greg, but I don't think it's a very strong, you know, it's not a very strong one. I don't think that there are very strong arguments either way on this. I think that the strongest argument, at least the one that resonates with me, is that it's nice to be able to look in one section of the document for your mappings and another section of the document for your coercion rules. Your brain doesn't have to parse anything, right? It's just key value for both sections. However, if we were to combine it, then all of a sudden it would turn into key and then complex value, and it would be kind of, you know, mixed in there as a complex value. So I think right now I'd prefer to just keep it key value with simple values, and not do what Nicholas is proposing. Any other thoughts on, I guess, what Nicholas is proposing, and then we can go back to deciding whether or not we're going to swap the way we do coercion?
I think one of the problems that we get dinged with and other relatively complex RDF syntaxes are dinged with is that there's too many ways to do the same thing. And this is certainly introducing that. That said, if we don't address that, and it's something that sort of gets interest, we can always add it later on. But if it's added, it's very difficult to remove.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. I would, if we were to allow this, I would probably recommend that we remove the other way so that there is only one way. Mm-hmm. Also, you might, I don't know if you understand it from this example, but this is going even further. Now I'm 3 steps away from, but I mean, now I'm starting to, I don't know, I'm quite close to what I originally did in Gluon,
mm-hmm.
but with well, it's cleaner now because JSON-LD is more normalized than what I originally did in Gluon. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of like this mechanism. It makes it quite compact. And also, when I look up updated in the context dictionary, I see everything it implies
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. in one place. And if I wanted to see, well, every date or everything from Dublin Core and so on and so forth, this form would also be quite easy to scan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. Well, you know, I certainly can see that. And if we were to eliminate a separate coerce section and keep everything together, I think that might have some sense. Otherwise, coerce as being a separate thing within context, I think, always stuck out a little bit. And instead of, if the context is simply about alias, well, either mapping terms to aliased URIs and or data types and language and things like that, there is something to be said for that.
Right.
I think we probably need to float it out on the list since it's a pretty big change, but it's something that should be considered.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and like Greg, I agree that it does make it cleaner and more compact from a design standpoint. what I'm concerned about is we're getting is feature creep with JSON-LD, right? I mean, the more of these types of features that we add, the more difficult it is going to be for people to truly understand, right? To understand how to use it, to understand the full breadth of the language, and we never intended JSON-LD to be this. You know, this language that has a fairly complex set of processing rules or a complex kind of order or structure to it. We wanted very, very simple key value pairs. And the concern I have is that if we do make this change, we're moving away from that slowly, but we're certainly moving away from that. And it requires quite a bit of explanation to, I think, beginners, people that are just working with JSON that know nothing about linked data, all of a sudden you have to say that, you know, oh, this mapping can contain IRI, but it can also contain coerce, and it can also contain vocab and the processing rules that are a result of that end up becoming very, very complicated, right? I mean, to the point that you need to have the processing rules in your head to understand what's actually being expressed in the document. And I think that's where I don't like this direction, in that we're adding more features that people aren't necessarily asking for under the guise of good design. And I think that in this case, it's bad design because we're overcomplicating the language under the guise of good design, right? The good design for this language is it's a very restricted set, and it's very focused. And if we continue to add features to it, like this, like, you know, vocab and being able to, you know, express coerce and IRI in the same object, I feel that we make it cognitively far more difficult for people to wrap their heads around. So I think at this point I'm a minus one. I see the design benefit that Nicholas is proposing. If our goal was to create a very rich, complex language for JSON-LD, but I don't see that as JSON-LD's goal. I see JSON-LD's goal as a very simple, limited subset of linked data. And if people want to do more complex things, then there's always, you know, Turtle or any of those other, you know, any of the other languages, RDF style languages. So I think we should kick it to the list, but at this point, you know, I'm a minus one on it, just because I think it increases the cognitive load on people. Any other comments on this particular feature? I guess the one that Nicholas is proposing, we still need to go back and talk about key value or.
Yeah, I see your arguments as well. I was always after something which was pretty much as complete as Turtle. So that's, I mean, in terms of how I can express things, and sort of, I think that the compactness and the directness of it motivates the increased complexity. But as it stands, we have vocab and coerce. So this would, if we were to make the form, the last form, the one possible form, I'm not really sure how much more complex it would become. I mean, if we didn't allow coerce as a top level concept in the context.
So you're saying if we just if we don't pull in the concept of having vocab in there, but we just have the concept of IRI and coerce in there, or just having a text string, that's not any more complex than having coerce as a top level item in the context.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that one of the benefits to your argument is that if we needed to expand in the future, there's a clear path to doing that.
Yeah. Right? You know, maybe it would be useful to see some external context markup examples of in both ways. And Nicholas, perhaps you could put something like that on the list, because this does deserve a to be presented to a wider audience for consideration, I think.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so why don't we go ahead, Nicholas, would you mind kind of typing something up and sending it to the mailing list and kind of showing people what both directions could be?
No, sure.
Go ahead.
Do you have some specific context you'd like to see? I mean, I have my own, but they include a bunch of Swedish URI terms. So.
just something simple, something with 10 or 15, and maybe you can also include your context as a realistic context.
Sure.
As a real world context.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think the other thing that we is in the subtext here is that we are okay with just having the coercion, the properties on the left and the data types on the right for coercion. So regardless of whether we go with what Nicholas is proposing or keep the current syntax, we seem to be agreed that the property should go on the left and the data type should go on the right. Is that a good read on what we seem to be talking about?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Dave, if you could plus one or minus one in the IRC chat. Yeah, and then we also might want to check to see how the list proposal fits into these changes. Yeah.
But I think that in any case, that's a separate thing. Do we want the feature of coercing the data in RDF lists?
Right.
Well, I think we do need RDF lists, but one way to do it certainly is just to use list as a data type. And if we wanted to specify multiple things, like Nicholas had shown earlier, it could be using an array type form. So, members, colon, at list, comma, at IRI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's important to look at the list stuff, but I think we do have a solution if we want to coerce items in the list. But again, I mean, that feature, we don't have to put that feature in now. We've thought about how it could go in the future, and no one's really screaming for that feature to exist, so we should probably not put it in until there's a very clear person that's going to be using it or depends on it. To exist.
Well, we are losing something, because I think before we could have had at IRI member and then at list member, and that would have indicated that members should be members that are listed in an array where there's multiple of them would be used as a list, and that the contents would be coerced to IRI. Does already exist.
Right, but couldn't we just nest arrays to do that in the new proposal?
Can you type out an example of what you're thinking?
So let's see. So the goal here is to create. So Nicholas.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what I was saying. That's what we need in order to preserve the level of specificity that we have right now.
Okay, but couldn't we just do
no, because that's what we can do now.
Yeah,
but if we're changing to author list first, then we need to do the first form in order to say that author list is both a list and the values are coerced to IRIs.
Yes, but we don't really know if implementations, I mean, there is, it's unspecified what will happen if the term occurs in two coercion lists, or coercion things, what pairs. I mean, if someone read this last line, most implementations would probably, depending on in which order they came, coerce values to either IRIs, a set of IRIs, or a list of strings.
I don't believe that's the way it's written. I think @list is a special processing rule that means when you see an array of values for that property, that they are to be serialized as a list.
Right.
And it's not a data. It's not a data type or an IRI.
No, that's true. That's
okay.
Yeah.
And then ambiguous. If I say author list and I have list and IRI and I see a single member, does that now imply that even if it's a single member, it should be in a list? Or does it need to be in the array format? I mean, that is what we have right now. But I'm wondering if having turned this around, it now becomes a little bit more confusing.
Right. Well, I'm also wondering if there are going to be many people that require there to be. The assumption that we're making is that people want to be able to coerce the items in a list, and that seems like a fairly advanced. One is a fairly advanced concept, and two, we don't really know if anyone needs to do that. I can't think of an instance where we need to do that in our company.
Well, RDF doesn't allow you to do it anyway.
Right, but I'm wondering if for some reason, we need to be able to do that, right? We need to be able to do something in JSON-LD that we can't do in RDF. I'm trying to think of any use case where
this
is a requirement.
This does mean if you have something like, let me type something out. That says your list is composed of two URIs. And if you didn't have URI conversion, it would be a list of two strings that had the lexical form of a URI.
Yes.
So you do need to have both in order to say that this is, otherwise you'd have to use the object form in which you explicitly say it's an IRI.
Yeah, so I guess what you're saying is, but in this case, then what we do for that is, in the context, we would just do @list @IRI, right?
Yeah, right. But you could also have something like this. Right, and I would say it's a list of type literals of type any URI.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see many. I mean, you can see date lists and year lists and other.
Right, and I guess the RDF that you would end up generating is correct, right? I mean, you could easily take that and generate proper RDF from it. But you said, Greg, you said that that's a range violation, though.
If member list is of has the range of any URI, then it might be. I think you probably could have a range of both list and URI, in which case it or any URI in which case you could have a list or you could have a URI. But it doesn't actually imply that the list has to be of URIs. And that's just a problem with RDF. Unless there's something in OWL that I'm not aware of. It's a current topic on the RDF working group, so I haven't seen anyone bring that up. And it was brought up with regards to the microdata transformation.
Okay. Well, I guess then really the only thing that we're discussing is whether or not we want this feature, right?
I think we need it.
It seems like a fair... Okay.
Yeah, I think we need it in order to stay par with what we can express right now.
Okay. But there's nothing that allowing the key value pairs, using property on the left and the data type on the right, there's nothing that we can identify right now that we're losing. Like we're not incapable of achieving something that we can already achieve in the
If we do this,
in the current
if we allow this array syntax, yes, we're not losing anything.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think that in the previous spec, we don't specify that, what necessarily happens if you've got two items. Actually, the way we've implemented it is that you can only have one coercion, type. And I think we're not very clear on what happens when you have at list and then a data type associated with it. Go ahead.
We never had that.
No, exactly. Some people might end up doing implementations which would work like that, but I looked at it and I found it to be undefined. So in any case, we should specify it, and then it would, since we like this change and it works with this change, I think that everything is fine.
Well, sorry, say that again, Nicholas.
I think that since we like the case where we use terms as keys in queries, the change we're talking about, and since we in any case need to specify this behavior, we might as well go with the new form.
All right. Okay. Yes, I agree. Dave, I don't think that for conflicts we can leave the behavior undefined, because what most of the browser manufacturers have found that is that when there are conflicts and you leave the behavior undefined, that people just implement whatever they want to. And then you get a completely different set of behaviors out of the implementations than what you intended, right? So they end up not interoperating based on there being conflicts. The whole reason the HTML5 spec goes into such, excruciating detail on what to do, when a tag isn't closed or what order tags need to be reordered in, because in the first set of specs they didn't define what happens when people give input that's not valid. So I think we need to do that in the spec, specify what happens when there are conflicts. Right now in the API we specify that we raise exceptions when there are certain types of conflicts, and we probably need to specify this as a type of conflict that can happen. It's an invalid. We can specify that it's an invalid context if there is a conflict of some kind. Okay, so I guess the general we're over time at this point. I guess the general idea here is that we adopt the property on the left. Data type coercion, or sorry, in the data type on the right approach instead of what we have right now, which is data type on the left and all of the list of properties on the right. Any objections to moving forward with that? Okay, great. Anything else that we should be aware of over the next 2 weeks? We'll have another call in, not next week, but the week after. Anything that we should be aware of? Anything that we should kind of be tracking that's going on outside of the community? All right, guys. Have a great weekend or a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah,
all right.
You too.
Right.
All right. Bye, guys.